This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 65.
Hey, this is GunSully from Washington, D.C.
And this is TechSully driving through Manhattan, Kansas.
All right. The little apple, I take it? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. I have my kids in the car, so we normally keep the podcast pretty clean, but we might have to refer to certain people as Millery Clinton and Hitler Thump.
I just need to avoid trigger words for me. You know, if there's trigger words for me, then it inspires a lot of other cussing. Like words that rhyme with Hillary. So I actually have something to say. The news and the liberal news has been just furious about something that a reality TV show host running for president said. And the Republican news has been completely up in arms defending the things that a reality TV show host who wants to be president said. And nobody is talking about the actual heinous things that the President of the United States said about Muslims on Sunday. So I'm a little frustrated by that. In his speech, and I sent you quotations from it. And in his speech, I quoted how he says that, no, these guys aren't radicalized by ISIS. They just self-radicalized, you know, because they're Muslim. Like, just so you know, anyone who believes in Islam has the opportunity to just snap like a postal worker from the 80s. They'll just go nuts. Better watch out for that. Yeah. Oh, by the way, since that's the case, since that's an undeniable truth that I just made up, because there is actual tons of evidence that connects them to ISIS, there's plenty of evidence, but he, for some reason, lied and said there wasn't, and then he said, hey, we should take the terror watch list and use that terror watch list to take away the rights of Muslims, because the terror watch list basically shoved everyone with similar names to militants overseas. So if your name is Muhammad Abdul Aziz, well, guess what? There's four Muhammad Abdul Azizes fighting America overseas at the moment, and you might get tossed on the terror watch list because they think you might be related to him. They think you might be him, one of them. And so you'll get stopped at the airport and harassed for about 2 hours until they can make sure you're not one of the Muhammad Abdul Azizes who is presently attacking the United States. Once they figure out, you go on the plane. And you it might be a family man who owns a business and should have every right to defend yourself, even though your name is similar to somebody overseas. So, I am right on side with ACLU on this one. The ACLU says, what the heck are you talking about, Obama? That's disgusting. You can't take away people's Second Amendment rights just because they were questioned at one point or they were suspected at some point. It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, and here's the maddening thing. Okay, the Do Not Fly list, much like the Terror Watch list, has banned people because they've had similar names. And that's led to, you know, completely innocent people not being able to leave areas, get surgeries, you know, wonderful things like that. I share the same first name and last name with a senator up in Alaska that chronically is enraging homosexuals. And, you know, I think we've shared it on the podcast before that, you know, my email address got posted to a forum, you know, saying, hey, you know, here's his private email. Let's get him, guys. And
No one needs to know that your name is really Sarah Palin, okay?
What's that?
So, I said no one needs to know that your real name is Sarah Palin. So stop that. Stop giving people hints.
Yeah. So, you know, so I replied back and said to everyone, one of those guys, like, no, hey, I'm not that guy. And, you know, they took my name off pretty quick and then posted going, actually, he's a pretty nice guy. Don't harass that guy. You know, but it's like, you know, on the do not fly list, you don't have that option. You're, you know, on the terror watch list, you're in the process of getting waterboarded. And then the amazing thing is, you know, the people that are talking about Muslims going, oh, you know, we're just doing this stuff. Like, we're talking about just doing the stuff we did to the Japanese, like rounding them up and all that, like we did during World War II. Like, no, that was a terrible thing we did. We took people's businesses. We ruined their lives. People died in poverty because they couldn't reestablish the businesses they have. It was a horribly, terribly racist thing we did. We ripped apart communities. We treated American citizens who were proud American citizens, like they're scum just because they have to be from Japan. And we didn't do it to German citizens because, hey, you know, they're whitish, you know. I mean, and you have to listen to George Takei talk about his family. And you want to feel humbled. His dad, who had a business, successful business, had it ripped away from him. Their whole family was put into a concentration camp at age nine, you know, and they never recovered.
Just to clarify, it was an internment camp, please. It wasn't a concentration camp. I'm not saying that. Wonderful. I'm just saying, don't say concentration camp, for heaven's sake. They weren't going to murder those people and powder their remains. Don't say concentration camp when talking about an internment camp.
The term comes from there. They were concentrating a group of people that was the same ethnicity, you know, that's where the term came from. So, I mean,
I understand you might be right by the dictionary, but by culture and history, talking about World War II and concentration camps, that's understood to be about gypsies, Jews, gays, and blacks in Europe rounded up and powdered.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please continue.
Okay. All right, so we interned them, and, you know, he lost his business, they lost their home, they lost everything. And his father never harbored hatred, never harbored bitterness, and it's absolutely humbling that somebody could be wronged by their government so wrongly and still be, you know, so much better of a citizen than I would be in that circumstance, you know? I think I'd be, pretty darn quick right after that. If the same thing happened to me. That's why, yeah, I hear Republicans going, oh, see, we're just doing the thing we did to the Japanese. You know, it makes my blood boil. It's like, no, that was a terrible thing we did to the Japanese.
You're talking about the Republicans again. The Republicans aren't the ones actually proposing taking the Second Amendment away from Muslims. That's our Democrat president. The only Republican saying we need to round them all up is not a politician. He doesn't hold any office. All he does is say stuff and get on the news.
I follow all the Republican candidates on Twitter, so I'm hearing that echo chamber more than I'm hearing the actual. You're right. Yes, the doofus in chief doing the same thing. I completely agree. Yes.
Yes. You have a good crowd over here.
Live studio audience.
Yes.
I'm playing with a crowd.
So, yeah, very frustrated.
Like we talked last week, the guy from Samurai Jack, his parents, came over from Japan and worked with U.S. government, in World War II.
Yeah.
Can I say
We've done some crummy things as a country, and
and we could get bogged down in the past, and we could get distracted by ridiculous showboating reality TV hosts, or we can actually look independently minded at situations that are presently going on, like what the actual President of the United States is proposing, and we can say if we agree or disagree with that. Do we honestly believe as a people, like President Obama said, that, you know, any Muslim could just snap at any moment because they're Muslim? And that's why we need to start using the terror watch list, a thing that the ACLU called racist and Islamophobic, and we should use that as a way, as a list to deny people their rights, their America set in stone rights. But we should take their rights away. Business owners. These people on the terror watch list, a lot of them have done nothing wrong. Nothing. And they are on a watch list, meaning we're going to keep an eye on this person. We're going to watch this person. If they do something wrong and they get convicted of something, yeah, that's totally different. But a watch list is a watch list. That's it. There's a lot of people on it. Some of these people are business owners. Some of these people have family. Some of these people are upright people in their society who haven't done anything wrong, but maybe they have a relative that's done something wrong, or their name is similar to somebody who does stuff wrong. So we want to take away the, and here's another little caveat. We don't know who's all on that list. We know from examples of Muslims complaining about this. We know of those examples, but we don't know everyone on that list. Literally anyone could be on that list. As far as we know, the Obama administration has passed on in the past couple months tons of people who they think are scary veterans because they've been demonizing veterans. They might say, oh, gosh, he's a veteran. Veterans have PTSD. They're scary. Better put them on the terror watch list. God knows, this might be something that's going to take away the Second Amendment rights from tons of people. Who knows? We don't really know that. And that's why to be distracted by an actual troubling thing that actually affects our lives, and people are so distracted by, pompadour hair on a reality TV show host saying something shocking, and they go, oh my gosh, all news cameras train and focus on him, fire at will. What the heck?
Well, here's the other thing. Everybody's focusing on the assault weapons. Those were already illegal in California, and those people had pipe bombs. Okay, where did he purchase?
Pipe bombs
those?
Are also illegal.
They're illegal in all 50 states. You can't purchase those anywhere. You can't buy them on a shelf anywhere. Not even in the fun parts of Nevada.
This is another reason. This situation, the neighbor of these people saw people making pipe bombs in the garage, going in and out, but a half dozen people every night coming in and out, grown men coming over of Middle Eastern descent, and she didn't say anything because of Ahmed the Clock Boy, all that stuff. She was scared because she was like, oh, I don't want to be considered racist. I don't want to be considered Islamophobic. So she didn't say anything, and 14 people are dead. That could have been prevented had we not completely demonized a small town for seeing something and saying something. So I know you completely are 100% on Muhammad the Clock Boy's side, but if we hadn't demonized that town as a people and had the president jump out to continually demonize that town for seeing something and saying something, and basically demonizing anyone who sees something and says something, and then hypocritically saying, oh, and please say something if you see something.
Here's the thing. You can see something, and you can say something, and then, and here's where the Ahmed the Clock the Boy thing, or Muhammad the Clock Boy thing went totally south. You see something, you say something, you call in his engineering teacher goes, Oh yeah, that's the clock for the class. He gets speed limit.
No, you don't call. You don't see something and say something and call a teacher. You see something and say something and call the police. All right. Yes, the police should have had a bomb dog sniff it, and then it'd be done. But that's not. You can't add crazy stipulations to see something say something.
Okay. But here's the thing then. Should every kid named Muhammad be arrested every morning when they go to class in an electronics class and make sure that what they have isn't a bomb?
Why are you doing the ridiculous hyperbolic thing? You're like the Democrats when it's like, hey, we need to scream for stuff. Why would you say all Muslims are terrorists? So why would you even say something that ridiculous? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Cords and a clock face and a briefcase in most people's heads rings bomb, 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 bomb. That's what they see because nobody puts a clock face in a briefcase. Nobody thinks of that outside of the zeitgeist that would say, that's not a bomb, that's clearly just a clock. No one would think that.
Unless, of course,
like you said, you're an engineer, but most people aren't engineers, all right? So these people saw something that they thought was a bomb.
But that's movie bomb. Bomb.
Okay,
TV,
guess what? People watch movies. People watch movies. Did you know that? And that's what affects a lot of people's ideas of things. So, okay, it's a movie bomb. Guess what? That's what they thought it was. They thought it was a bomb because they saw the bombs that looked like that in the movie. And you know what? There are bombs that look like that. All right? There's picture after picture online where people show the bomb looking slightly different. The payload doesn't need to be massive. It doesn't need to have giant stacks of C4 next to it. IEDs are rather small sometimes. Okay? It's... They saw something, they said something, the entire town got demonized. Now they're getting sued from the terror capital of the Sunni world, okay? So I think that family can go sit and spin because we have seen 14 people die in America now because they didn't say anything. They were scared. They were, oh gosh, I don't want to be like that little racist town in Texas because they were afraid of being made fun of by people like you.
All right.
So you want to change gears now that you're no longer in a car full of children.
Yeah, more crap for me to edit out. No, it's what I was going to rant about was Hillary, our Democratic front runner, and Trump, the current GOP front runner, were both talking about shoring up the internet was Trump's phrase. And Hillary's phrase was cutting off the lines of communication to the terrorists, in her speech. Now, do you know what the terrorists were using for communication? They're using Facebook.
Jeez.
They weren't using encryption. They weren't using... RSA, back-end encryption. They weren't bouncing their signal off of SATCOM 5 to quote, Wayne's World 2 or Wayne's World 1. They weren't doing anything fancy at all. They're using flipping Facebook and not even like Facebook messaging. So, are you going to block Facebook for America? Are you going to ban Facebook? No, they're talking about banning encryption, something that the bad guys weren't using, but the good guys like me use. So once again, you always rant that they're going to take away your guns, your ammo, so the bad guys are going to have more guns and ammo than you. In my world, they're going to take away my weapons. So the bad guys are going to be doing all of their normal communication out in the open, and I'm going to be less safe because I can't protect myself from the people who are actually out to get us, like in my world, which is the Advanced Persistent Threat, Google them, It's just China, but it's the advanced persistent threat. And, yeah. So that's
you want,
my rant.
By George?
Is if either of these chuckleheads is elected president, they're going to shore up the internet.
Yeah. Well, that's what really upsets me about the Trump-Hillary dynamic, is we just see that humans are majority stupid. Because, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, I really want the loudest, most obnoxious, richest person. Can I get the blondest, too? I don't know why, I just want the blondest, most blue-eyed, richest idiot. Please, please, please. Oh, good, Trump. Oh, good, Hillary. So, yeah, that's what anyone who's like, 99%, man, that's why I'm voting for Hillary. You're an idiot. Go dunk your head in the toilet and flush.
Well, okay, the last time she ran for president, Hillary's number one, the very first commercial she ran was about violent video games and what they're doing to, you know, our children. Now, at the time, the average age of a video gamer was, it was 8 years ago, right?
How old were you exactly at 8 years ago?
I think the average age of a video gamer was, 27.
Okay.
And now the average age of a video gamer is somewhere around 35. It's drifting. When you're like, we need to protect our children, these poor 35-year-olds who are impressionable.
I'm not 35 yet.
Yes. So stay away from violent video games because, you know.
Oh, no, I played Wolfenstein this past week. I think I just woke up covered in blood in the German embassy. It was, I don't know what happened, but I'm sure it was just violent video games channeled through me. And God knows, I need Hillary to save me. So please save me, Hillary, from violent video games.
Although something wonderful and beautiful came out of that original campaign, and that was the Desert Bus Challenge, and that was the game Desert Bus, which was made by Penn Jillette, and I don't think it was ever officially released commercially, but you drive from Reno to Vegas or from Vegas to Reno, whatever. It's an 8-hour drive in a bus that never goes higher than 50 miles an hour.
I think it's Albuquerque to Vegas.
Oh, it's Albuquerque. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you make the entire 8-hour trek, and the counter goes one, and you have the option to turn around and drive back. And so for charity, Child's Play charity, they make the drive back and forth. This past year,
You're telling me this game was made as a sarcastic flip-off to Hillary and who is it, Jack Johnson or whatever? What's the guy's name? Who's the other?
It was actually Janet Reno was the original one was created because of Janet Reno was because she says why aren't there video games. Why do video games have to be about fantasy? Why don't they prepare people for real life? And it's like, well, you know, why do people watch Columbo? Why don't they watch, shows about real life? Columbo is as much fantasy.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Traffic Cop. Hey, you were going 42 and a 35. I'm just going to give a warning, but, be careful. And then the music starts playing really dramatically. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Traffic Cop.
Yeah, no, even better, Meter Maid.
I'm sorry, sir, I already started writing the ticket. It's 4 p.m. Dramatic music kicks in. It zooms in on his face and he puts on glasses. Yeah, no, itself.
What's the fine for here? Well, it's $5.50. Oh, that's not bad. That's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But,
All right,
so it was originally written, Yeah, it was originally written, the game was written because of Janet Reno said, you know, why don't video games prepare you for real life? The Child's Play charity was created because Jack Johnson said that all video game, you know, violent video gamers, you know, are, you know, every time there's a spree killing, which happens monthly in America, Jack Johnson would come out and go, clearly he's a video gamer, and then it would come out that no, he was a postal worker. And there'd be another spree
killing.
You know
that guy that lived in a cabin and put tinfoil around his head and then shut up a Planned Parenthood because he's a warrior for babies? He kept screaming that in court. Yeah, he was a big video gamer, I hear. He hooked it up to his tree. He hooked his Xbox One up to his tree, and then he just threw squirrels at it.
Exactly.
The beautiful thing that came
out of Jack Johnson's idiocy was the Child's Play charity. So the Child's Play charity is a charity where they donate video games to terminally ill children. Who, you know, have nothing better to do than stare at the walls while they're trying to not die. So you give them video games and a little bit of something to do with the end of their times. And then you look at what they actually end up spending the money that you donate on them, and it's often very little, video games. In other words, like Leapster video games, because so many little tiny children have cancer. And
that's
you're like, oh, I thought I was going to be buying Punch-Out for a teenager. No, you're buying, you know, Scooter Learns His ABCs because a three-year-old has cancer. And you're like, oh, damn it, I'm going to donate another 50, you know? So this past year, the Desert Bus Challenge broke every previous record. I was thrilled as heck. And there's a guy named Daniel who I've been following. His make-a-wish was to go attend the Desert Bus every year. And sadly, this year, he wasn't able to make it because he had passed on. So,
yeah, and that is absolutely touching. I thank you for sharing that. That is a beautiful story. I actually got a buddy who's been wanting to organize a desert bus for charity, for the troops, a desert bus for the troops, charity event. And, so now that you've clarified a little more what the background there, that makes total sense. It sounded funny. It sounded quirky when he said it, and I was definitely interested, but now I'm definitely all in because that's a real clever background there.
Yeah, no, that'd be fantastic. I'd be down to chipping in any way I can help.
Awesome, awesome. We'll do that at the lodge. We'll talk about that offline, I guess. But
very cool.
Yeah, we just helped the world. But you know,
The other thing you and I were talking about, you know, because we like to come up with solutions. We don't just like to talk about the problems. And
right.
I like to come up with a tech solution for things, but the problem with the radical Islam stuff is you're talking about Stone Age problems here. You know, how do you solve a problem that, you know, literally from the ISIS handbook, they say, you know, grab a rock and smash somebody's head in. That's literally one of their calls to action is, you know, grab a rock. You know, we're talking Stone Age level calls to action on their side. And so I think we talked about it some this last time, it's got to come from inside Islam. They need to have, you know, they need to swarm, they need to pressure anybody that's on that cusp. You know, ISIS is targeting, ISIS figured out the magic words to target the disaffected, disassociated youth. You know that the Islam needs to target those own people themselves. You know, the moderates. They need to target those guys themselves, bring them in. And what I thought was brilliant was in the tunnel, in the stabbing this past week. Well, actually, I don't know if he was successfully stabbed anybody, but in England, there's a guy wielding the knife, and he was swinging a knife around, saying, "This is for Syria," and, you know, shouting Allahu Akbar. And a bunch of other Muslims were around taunting him, going, "You ain't no Muslim, bruv." And I was like, that's what they need to do. They need to have, you know, you need to be like, "No, hey, we ain't putting up with this crap. You don't represent me. You ain't representing my stuff." And, you know, I talked offline. You basically need to be like, you know, the reason why that guy bought that big truck. Well, we all know why he bought the big truck. It's because of his, you know, his little thing problem, you know. You need to make it like, "Oh, the reason you joined radical Islam is because you're impotent." You know, I mean, we need to make it a shaming thing.
I think it's not just that you're impotent, but that you clearly believe that your God is just as impotent as you, if you are a terrorist, because, you know, you're made in his image, so I guess he must be just as weak and powerless as you, which is why you need to run around with a gun or a knife and scream how great he is.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It's like, I've never understood blasphemy, Milos. It's like, if your deity can't stick up for himself, then why do you worship it? You know, and you know, it's pretty rare in America, but we've got a kid somewhere in the Northeast that was arrested for messing around with the Jesus statue and has to serve 2 years of community service. And I'm like, okay, you know, how many of us have been 16 and done something stupid? You know, why in the world, you know, if Jesus can't stick up for himself, we don't need to be worshiping Jesus. If Allah can't stick up for himself, we don't need to, you know, if Allah can't defend himself, if the Prophet can't defend himself, then, hey, maybe he's not really all that powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's like they say, Jesus and Buddha. Jesus and Buddha and Brigham Young and the Prophet Elijah all walk into a bar and say, Boy, that sure was a great tantric session, and that's the whole joke right there.
Yeah. The Onions has that. No one would die
from saying that joke.
Yeah. But The Onion has that brilliant picture they post after every horrific Muslim extremist thing. And it's that picture that says nobody's ever been killed for this picture. And it's, you know, it's a horrifically offensive picture of every deity doing everything to every other deity, except for one specific deity has been left out.
Right. Well, the aggravation, too, is this whole thing, this whole tolerance of the most intolerant part of Islam is ridiculous. Because, and I'll tell you why, back in 2005, Comedy Central played, you know, a cartoon with the Prophet Muhammad on it. Because it wasn't a big deal then, because we weren't, as a world, validating the crazy fringe who says they should censor other cultures. But after the murder of Van Gogh, after a murder of Van Gogh's descendants, everyone started validating them, saying, "Oh no, it's a perfectly normal cultural thing for them to turn into crazy savages if somebody mentions the Prophet Muhammad. If somebody mentions the Prophet Muhammad, well, oh, I just said it, oh my, just, you know, I said it with all due respect, and please don't murder us." And then people started freaking out, going, "Oh my gosh, where is there references to the Prophet Muhammad? Are there pictures? What could happen?" And then whenever there is one, people would broadcast it all over, saying, "This is a reference of, oh my gosh!" And then, you know, there's kind of a game of
Phone Call. You remember the game Phone Call in kindergarten, where people would that's sort of how in some countries. One of my Iranian friends was explaining this to me. He's like sometimes it's like Phone Call, where one town leader says, "Hey, I heard this from the news," and then during Friday prayers somebody mentions it, and then everyone is ready to riot the next day. So it's that's how a lot of those things kind of spread around without any logic to them. And the fact that we started validating that made Comedy Central go, "Holy crap, I can't believe we had the Prophet Muhammad on TV." And, you know, it's hard to find, but you can look up South Park's old episodes in that had Prophet Muhammad in there. He was one of the super best friends, which the super best friends were.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the episode of Super Best Friends.
Absolutely brilliant, might I say. It was brilliant because it was basically saying, hey, it's totally fine to be religious, but your religion shouldn't kill yourself or others. If you are in a religion and you're killing somebody else, or you're killing yourself because of your religion, you're doing it wrong. You're doing religion wrong. So that's a beautiful point. I absolutely love Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the fact that they put it so brilliantly in that. And it's one of those things, here's one of the tricks to their work. I mean, you watch Book of Mormon, you watch a lot of the South Park episodes discovering religion for the characters, and guess what? You can put radical Islam in there. You can fit it into those blocks and go, this is what the world needs to see. There shouldn't be this, oh, well, we can make fun of everything, but we can't make fun of that. And it's like, no, the world is fun. God made the world is fun. Because God's fun. He's a fun guy. Okay? He made sex and the platypus. He's fun. So we're allowed to look at the world under the view of comedy, okay? We can see things and go, well, what's funny about this, okay?
Yeah. I totally agree, and I think that's a good punch-out point.
Amen.
All right. Well, I will edit all this stuff up, and then I'll take out all the F-bombs.
F, yeah. All right. All right, I'll talk to you later, bro. And I'll fill you in if we get that Desert Bus for Charity organized.
All right, that sounds cool. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.